the learner. You choose what you want to learn, when you want to learn it.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name's Roland Meehan. I'm a double agent in education partly because I've been researching home-based education for 30 years here in the British Isles. And at the same time, I've been involved in the learning system itself, the university and schools, in training teachers for the schooling system, which has given me a very interesting basis for comparison between the two, which appears in the things that I've written about learning systems. From this address, we run two organisations. One is called Educational Heretics Press, and my wife and I, we actually spend some of our time commissioning books and indeed writing books which are of a radical nature, asking questions about education and what we should do with it and where it should go. The exciting thing about that is we've commissioned writers to write books for us who would never have had their books published by the normal commercial publishers. In fact, I don't think any of our 87 books would ever have been published by commercial publishers. So we're rather proud of what we've managed to do in terms of keeping ideas flowing, which the mainstream presses don't want to know about. But the other organisation we run from here is called the Centre for Personalised Education Trust. And this is a trust that's been devoted now for 10 years to the idea of promoting and developing all the logistics of personalised learning. Now, one of the things about personalised learning is that home-based education is one of the contexts where you're most likely to find it. There's no guarantee you'll find it in home-based education, because some home educators actually work to quite a formal program. But plenty of home educators actually do personalise the learning, and the learners do take over the management of it and have a great deal of say in what's learned, when it's learned, and how it's learned, and why it's learned.
Oh, so is it actually a physical space then?
Yeah, it's our spare bedroom, actually.
Oh, okay, that's a good one, yeah. Okay, so I've read a few of your pieces in Life Learning magazine, and there was one on education fit for a democracy.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk a bit about what that means.
Okay. I think one has to say quite a few things about democracy, because it's much more complicated than meets the eye. The first is to say that, and I'm in a sense paraphrasing Winston Churchill here, who said democracy is the worst form of organisation, except for all the others. Now, I think that's quite an interesting observation, because it means we can't expect democracy to be an ideal or perfect system. But it is, nevertheless, an improvement on the other forms of organisation, which can be any of the standard tyrannies of dictatorship or totalitarianism or fascism or theocracy or monarchy or bureaucracy or capitalism. All these are forms of domination and dictatorship. And if you don't have democracy, you have one of those. And therefore, I'm simply suggesting you're worse off. Despite the limitations of democracy, you're worse off with any of those.
All right, so now when we think about an education, what would that entail?
Yeah, yes, and I think there are lots more things to be said about democracy. And there are perhaps three or four things you could say about how democracy would work in education. The first is that there will be a variety of provision rather than uniformity, because in a democracy we're talking about taking choice seriously. That is, if you're involved in something, for example, if you're a taxpayer, then you should have some involvement in the government that taxes you. They should be able to vote it in or vote it out. The same in education. If, in fact, you know, there's an option as to what you can learn, then this should be made available to you rather than imposing one set of ideas on you, whether you've chosen them or not. The second idea is that in a democracy, you're allowed to have critical thoughts rather than just believe what the rulers tell you. You're able to question what's being on offer. You're able to question the questions. The other systems don't actually encourage that, whether it's totalitarianism or monarchy or theocracy or bureaucracy. They don't encourage question asking. Okay. They actually want you to believe there's one right answer and that they, the people in charge, know it. And then, of course, in democratic education, that you operate some form of power sharing rather than having things imposed on you from above. So you would be looking like the situation where people can choose from a catalogue of ideas what it is they learn, and maybe choose to learn it together, or else to choose to do it on their own. And perhaps a fourth feature of democracy in education is that it promotes flexibility rather than rigidity. And I think one of the things that we experience here in the United Kingdom is enormous rigidity in the system and very little flexibility.
Yeah, it seems to be getting worse, doesn't it?
Yes, it's getting more rigid rather than less. Nelson Mandela had, as his Minister of Education, a guy called Professor Bengu. And he made this observation about democracy, which I really treasure. And he says, democracy means the absence of domination. And you can go on to say, and the maximisation of consent. But the absence of domination is an interesting observation. Now, the schools here in the United Kingdom are riddled with domination, absolutely riddled with it. First of all, you're forced to go there. Then you're forced to learn the curriculum that's imposed on you. Then you're punished if you don't learn it properly. Then you're tested. You know, the whole thing is just riddled with domination from start to finish. And I'm sure there are elements of this in Canada too.
Oh, yes, definitely. But I'm thinking, we're talking like this, but the democracy isn't really extended to kids anyway. I mean, they don't get...
That's right. Well, then this is the whole point of democratizing education, is that it should be. That is, we have to... children are people too.
Mm-hmm.
That is, that they deserve human rights, they deserve consultation, they deserve the dignity of doing things with consent rather than by being bullied into it. So yes, it's a radical idea, but we have to regard children as people worthy of consultation and worthy of being involved in democratic processes and worthy of having choices and a variety of things on offer to them. There's so many things you can say about democracy. I mean, I think one of the important things which perhaps people don't really grasp is that democracy can be around in a very shallow form, or it can be a deeper form or a very deep form. There are kind of degrees of democracy, if you like. And this is the kind of thing our politicians hate us to say, but we have in Britain a very shallow form of democracy indeed. Very little power sharing and very little participation in decision making in the society in general, let alone in the education institutions like schools. If we actually wanted to make it a deeper democracy, then we have to take more power sharing seriously and more participation seriously, however inconvenient this is to the people who rule our society. And indeed, one of our politicians said, well, our rulers in Britain actually hate democracy because it's so inconvenient having to consult people and to involve them in the decision making. It's so much more inconvenient to be a dictator and just say, this is what we'll do.
As a parent, we know that too, right?
We do indeed. Yes, indeed, this extends to parenting, doesn't it? Because one of our writers has written a book for Education and Heritage Press, Jan Fortune Wood, called With Consent. And it's about parenting. And she advocating that parenting should be conducted on the whole idea of obtaining consent from all concerned. The parents, the children, agreeing rules, agreeing how they can do things together or differently, operating acting on the basis of consent and agreed rules, and not on the parents saying, because I tell you so.
Yes, that's true. I should get that book.
It's a very interesting book, yes.
We talk about some examples of a democratic institution right now.
Yes, that they do exist. I think the most prominent example of a democratic learning institution is right under our noses, and it's called the public library. The point about the public library is that, first of all, it is professionally organized. It isn't a random collection of books and learning resources. It is properly organized by professionally trained people. But the professional sort of interference stops there. At that point, having organized the places and where books and other things are available in a systematic way, the librarians then say, it's over to you now. You're the learner. Here's the resources. We've organized it for them. You choose what you want to learn, when you want to learn it. Take the books away. Read them here. We shan't be testing you. We're not keeping records of what you're learning. It's your private business what you learn. And now that is, I think, a very deep democratic learning institution, which says, you know, we respect you as the learner to decide what to learn and how to learn it, when to learn it.
I'm Noam Chomsky. You're listening to CFMU 93.3.
The librarians don't devise a national curriculum. They actually say, it's a catalogue curriculum, and you make your own way through it as fast as you like. Anybody, any age, any pathway, any time, any pace, that's the slogan of the public library. Now, if that should be the slogan of all our education and learning systems, in my view. And the best home educators do it that way anyway. They actually do operate on that kind of principle.
Right. I think of John Holt's book, Consent of Education.
Yes.
And he was talking about how if we could only use libraries to actually extend their roles.
I'm a great fan of John Holt and I met him over here and we became good friends. We were collaborating on certain projects before he sadly died of cancer. And I've written two books now about his ideas. So, yes, I think John Holt was one of the people who were committed to this idea of taking personalised learning and personalised education and making it the cornerstone of education.
So how can we foster those places, those learning places, those environments?
I think the first thing is we have to point out to people that we're not talking dreamland here. Because when you say, look, people say it's all very well dreaming of an institution where the learners can choose. And you say, just a minute, we do have a public library. It's been going for 100 years. It's been operating on exactly this principle. Don't tell me it's daydreaming. It's in front of your nose. We just have to adopt those principles to the other places for learning. And I do think this means that we have to eventually recycle all our schools into better learning places, places that are learner-friendly, and places that like people to come and learn rather than command them to come and learn. Now, that takes a big shift in thinking, but the idea we can't do it is nonsense when you think the public library does it without even blinking. So we can do this, but it does mean we have to abandon some of the ideas that currently operate within the system. The Centre for Personalised Learning just had a very inspiring weekend on the whole theme of recycling of schools. It's come up with sort of 10 different ideas in which we can increase the variety of choices for learners. And some of these are very familiar, like we should make home-based education properly available and supported, rather than as a kind of odd thing that some odd people do. But it should be declared this is a valid form of education. We will even support it with some money. People can choose to do some home-based education anytime they want to. Secondly, home-based educators working in cooperatives are a valid form of education. That can be on offer too.
Mm-hmm.
There are things, as you know, from they operate in North America, I think, called the city colleges, which are places which don't have an actual building because they're organized on the basis of people will learn in the city, in the places for employment, in the museums, in the library, elsewhere and elsewhere. They will choose the kind of experiences in the city that they think are important to them and construct a program out of that. The idea of flexi schooling, whereby people could spend perhaps a couple of days in school and a couple of days learning at home and work the two together as a program. There's a program here in Britain called Not School Net. An interesting program because it takes the people who've been rejected by the system or excluded from the system and starts by consulting them and saying, what would you like to learn? And then it redefines them. It says, we're not going to call you students anymore or pupils. We're going to call you researchers. Now, so as researchers, why don't you start researching the kind of thing you want to find out about? Now, we will help you. We've got people we can contact and put you in touch with. We've got resources that we can put over the internet to you. You start learning the things you want to learn in the way you want to learn them, and we'll help and support you. And the interesting thing is how this program turns the ugly duckling into swans, you know. That is, it takes people who are supposedly hopeless at learning, and by using this approach to them, the personalized learning approach, they actually gradually become turned on to learning and become better and better at it, and some of them end up where you wouldn't have expected in colleges and universities later on. So again, we could do it. I mean, that is, when people say, oh, it's just impossible dream, say, well, but the Not School Net program isn't an impossible dream. It's been going for years. I don't know how many years, I think 6 or 7, I think.
Says there'll be no work next year. Qualifications, what's the golden rule? And now just pieces of paper. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards. And your old school shoes. The truth is, son, it's a buyer's market. They can't afford to pick and choose. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because I dress like this doesn't mean I'm a communist. Closing and the army's full. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I've come to see in the land of the free there's only a future for the chosen few. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards. You're on top of the scrap heap. At 16 you were top of your class. All they taught you at school was how to be a good worker. System has failed, you don't fail yourself. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
I think the other idea I would like to see adopted as the basis of personalized education is the idea that's used in a number of USA schools called year-round education. And year-round education recycles schools by saying, we will open every day, 8 till 8, every day of the year, weekends as well. And we will make, as the public library does, offers to you about the programs of things you could come and learn and sign up for and get interested in. But you know, you would choose which of these you want to do, once you've chosen them as a kind of contract, I mean, that is, we don't want to be silly about this. That is, well, if you choose to have a go at this, then you must give it a decent try and come and use the facilities. We have to provide staff and so on to help you, so it's only fair that you should take it seriously. But year-round education converts schools into something quite different, which are year-round education centres where people can choose to come and go according to the things that are on offer. But also they can say, at the moment you're not offering a certain thing, and some of us would like to have that, will you organise it for us? And the answer has to be, well, if we can afford it within our budget, yes, we will make it available to you. So I think when you start doing all these things together, so properly supporting home-based education, supporting home-based education cooperatives, supporting the public library, the city of school, the not school net programs, voluntary work projects, flexi schooling, you can see that this begins to offer to the learners a whole portfolio of ideas that they can build into their learning programs. Over a period of time, say 10 years, they might include quite a few of these in their own learning program. There's another idea I'd like to see, which is actually to be adopted from Denmark. And Denmark have the system called Efterskola. Efterskola are residential schools where adolescents in particular are invited to go and spend a year in a residential community focusing on one activity. It could be dance, it could be music, it could be ecology, it could be drama, it could be languages, or it could be one or two of these. And so on offer, if you want to choose it, is a residential experience for a year or half a year where you can go and live with other people focusing on the same thing and spend some in a sense quality time on that one or two activities. And I'd like to, we don't have any of these in the United Kingdom, yeah. But I think we could develop them.
That sounds really interesting too.
There's no reason why somebody say, well, for a year I'm going to study my locality. My program will be studying all the things in our locality, the history of it, the operation of it, the businesses, the facilities, going to places of interest and seeing what's going on there. My project will be to get to know my locality in more breadth and depth than I do at the moment. And I think that if people took out a year to do that, that will be a very interesting thing for some people to try and do. I mean, the alternative is, well, do they spend another year in the day prison then? I regard schools as day prison. And, you know, that is a really unimaginative and dull and anti-democratic kind of idea. The best we can turn up is a national chain of day prisons in the name of education. I think that is totally without imagination and totally anti-democratic.
There's one thing that I've noticed, that there seems to be a locking away of knowledge, like even in the way things are made. You find everything is sealed. I was looking at my daughter's little clock she had for her birthday. I couldn't open it.
That's right. Well, this is the point of a national curriculum. If you put the national curriculum of different countries side by side, they don't add up. And what you realise is that the national curriculum in country to country is just an assortment of adult hang-ups. Missing from them are lots of important things that you might want to be interested in. I remember having an argument with a school teacher and saying, I would like to learn Esperanto, the international auxiliary language. She said, don't be silly, we couldn't waste time on things like that. Well, frankly, why shouldn't we? If somebody wants to learn Esperanto and sees it as a commitment to an international communication, why should the system say, we're not going to let you? But in my school, you can learn Latin, though. Mm-hmm. I thought Esperanto was a much more intelligent idea than learning Latin, but that's just my hang-up.
Right. Now, is there anything more you wanted to talk about?
Well, I think we come back to home-based education because it does some of these things very effectively. Not always. I mean, home-based education is much more part of a solution when it practices personalised education and personalised learning than when it tries to ape schools, do it the way schools do it. Well, when it is practicing personalised education, it is pointing all sorts of things about the way we can go about things, how the learners can manage their learning, how you can be involved in a consent-based program, an invitation-based program, how you can use a catalogue curriculum to make your way around the whole world of learning, how you can operate a learner-friendly situation as against learner-hostile situations elsewhere, how you can use purposive conversation as a tool of learning, which is a much more proficient way of learning than, say, formal instruction. Formal instruction has an efficiency rating of between 5 and 10%. Purposive conversation, which is used a lot by home-based educators, has a 50% efficiency rating. You remember 50% on average of what goes on in a purposive conversation, whereas you only remember 5 to 10% of a formally taught presentation. There are lots of things in home-based education where they are pointing the way. When it practices personalised education, I think home-based education is definitely part of the solution. Unfortunately, I think school is not the part of the solution. It's actually part of the problem. This is why we have to consider the whole idea of recycling schools into more intelligent arrangements for learning.
Take chances! Make mistakes! Get messy!
No, we're having a discussion on education fit for a democracy.
I think education and democracy is that kids should have the right to have breakfast in bed whenever they feel like it.
Yeah, it's not fair. We're hungry and I need to work on some presents and I can't leave my room.
Malin, you were saying you want to go to school. You want to
try
school. Try
it out.
Do you think that that's going to be a democratic institution for you? You'll be told what to do, what to study. Do you think that right now that you're not told what to do?
No.
Study, I mean, as far as studying.
Yeah, I think so. But as far as piano, no.
Do you think that kids are mature enough to actually know what to study for themselves?
Yes,
to learn by themselves?
I think so. Because I'm pretty much sure about that. But yes, I think most kids can study by themselves and they can really learn if they want to.
Like, do you think they can make their own decisions?
Yes, I think so.
What do you think about school then? Do you think it's a democratic institution?
No.
Why?
Because you're always being told what to do, and you have to be bussed around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week, maybe. Like, I go to Chinese school, and you get pretty bussed around, but it's fun.
But it's different, right? Because you're going there because you want to learn the Chinese. It's not the same thing.
Exactly, and if I wanted to quit, I could quit any time. I can miss any time I want. I don't have to have a note. My new Chinese teacher sometimes asks me where I am if I miss, but that's all right, because I can just tell him, honestly. It's just because, like, school kids always have to do all these boring things, and homeschoolers get a choice. Well, unschoolers.
So, but even if it wasn't boring, even if it was interesting, it's still not really democratic, right?
Because
it's still something that
some people don't want to do, but they're being forced to, they have to go.
But how about in your own home? Do you think that you could have some more democratic education?
Yes.
Can you explain that? How
I think I should have more time to read. I want to cut out my lunch hour.
How can your learning be improved? And how can it become more democratic, more steered by you?
For good education, I like if you to let me go more places by myself.
See, she thinks so too. That's what I think too.
By yourself, eh? All by yourself?
No.
She wants to do my paper route with me, and I want to get a paper route on Friday.
No,
I
want to get $5 out of it.
I like to make my own money, and I don't really get a chance. I wish you'd tell me I could read all I wanted.
You do.
I do not. You're always telling me to practice the piano.
Do you think that you're learning in a democratic situation?
No.
No? How come?
Because the only thing that I would want you to stop doing is nagging me to practice the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I can do it when I feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I really want to practice it and sometimes I really don't want to do it.
So you want me to respect you that way?
Yeah.
What do you want to learn more about?
Animals. Just helping me find things that I can do more with animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just did the SPCA thing, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was all right. Well, I like science.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to have more chances to make money?
No, I can make it my own way.
How about going places by yourself? Are you interested in that as well?
No, when I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org. Or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S16. C-O.